Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're going to find
it. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you.
Ooh.
Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Come on, let's get going now.
From KMOX Sports.
We're primed and ready.
All day, baby.
Man, let's go.
This is the Graybar Sports Open Live. Graybar, your distributor for electrical and datacom needs on 104.1 FM, KMOX.
Here we go on a Friday night. Welcome in. It's the Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly. Thank you so much for being with us tonight. We'll take you all the way until 8 o'clock. We've got a busy Friday night edition of the program. We are going to be talking with our friend Jacob Sersosimo from Channel 4 and Matrix Midwest. He's going to be with us in about 10 minutes. Next hour, we're going to talk with Tom Hart from ESPN and SEC Network. He's going to be on the call this weekend for Missouri and Auburn. We're also going to hear from Blues head coach Jim Montgomery. He spoke with the media earlier today. Blues back at tomorrow when they take on Dallas. So we'll play back some of what he said during his media session. And we'll also play back for you the weekly conversation the Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes has with Carrington Harrison of our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City. That's going to be coming up in the 7 o'clock hour as well. As always, if you want to join us, you can do so. You can call or text 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900. Call, text, tweet at me, at Matt Pauly on air, M-A-T-T-P-A-U-L-E-Y on air. Or for those of you who are watching on the video stream, you can leave a comment on the chat, and we will try to address those as we go along through the program today. I want to start with what we started last hour with when we were doing Rush Hour Sports. We got some injury updates and some surgery updates from the Cardinals today, which, bluntly, that's not information that we have always received. But I'm glad that they are sending that out. We understand that Brendan Donovan had sports hernia repair. That took place on October 7th. Yvonne Herrera got a right elbow scope to remove bone spurring. That happened on October 15th. And Lars Nootbaar got this one sounds like just terribly painful. Got surgery on both heels to shave down Haglund's deformities. And earlier, we got the description of Haglund's deformities from Kevin Wheeler. I will read it again for you. Haglund's deformity is a condition that causes a bony enlargement on the back of the heel near the attachment of the Achilles tendon. This enlargement can rub against the Achilles tendon, leading to inflammation, pain, and other symptoms. It says the exact cause of Haglund's deformity is unknown, but it could be related to foot structure if you have high arches or rigid feet, increased stress on the Achilles tendon, or repetitive micro traumas to the heel bone. Let me start with this. If any of our listeners out there have any personal experience with Haglund's deformity, text in. I would love for you to text in. Tell me how painful it is, how big of a deal it is, because this is not exactly something we hear about very often. So I am reaching out to the audience. Any of you out there that have any personal experience with Haglund's deformity, text in 314-436-7900. I want to know just how painful this is, like 1 to 10. Because what I want to know, where I'm going with this, is I really want to know how much this might have impacted Lars Nootbaar. Just based off like the dictionary description of it, it sounds like it could have had a pretty major impact on him, because if your feet aren't working, the rest of your body, more often than not, is not working as an athlete. So I am reaching out to the sufferers out there. There has to be at least one person in our vast KMOX audience who at some point in time has a personal experience with Haglund's deformity. Again, the number to text in, 314-436-7900, 314-436-7900, and we can talk through more Haglund's deformity. But just shaving, Kyle Sixt is here. The way they refer to it, Lars Nootbaar, surgery on both heels to shave down Haglund's deformities. Doesn't that sound terrible?
It makes me uncomfortable just talking about it. It sounds awful.
Like shaving down your heels? Ah, that's horrible. Okay, so we'll see if anybody texts in. Or if you listen, if you're watching on the stream, you can leave a comment in the chat if you have personal experience with Haglund's deformity. I don't think I've ever heard of it before today. Let's see. I'm going to see if it's common. That's it is common in women age 15 to 35, particularly those who wear high heels, but it also affects runners and individuals with a high arch foot or tight Achilles tendon. So there it is. I guess we've learned more about Haglund's deformities than probably anybody really wants to know. But I appreciate the Cardinals sending out the information. That's for sure. I would say the first two that I mentioned, a sports hernia surgery, not that that's nothing, but you're able to come back from that. Herrera getting the right elbow scope to remove bone spurring feels like that's something that should not impact him in the long term, and he should be able to have a somewhat normal offseason. And more, even if the offseason is impacted a little bit, you're able to get into spring training and be full go when that gets started. So at least for the first two, I would think that those guys are going to be all right. When it comes to Nootbaar, I don't even know how to start speculating on if there's going to be any sort of longer term impact to the Haglund's deformities. So, yeah. Oh, got this text message. Can't believe you're wasting airtime on this. I'm just trying to educate the people on what's going on with Lars Nootbaar's heels. But more important here. It's what the baseball impact is on all this. And I think the questions that I would have is how much Nootbaar was impacted by this. We know the impact that Ivan Herrera had with everything that was going on. That's been talked about a lot, and a lot of people say that he was especially impacted from a defensive standpoint in catching. And then from a Donovan standpoint, what we talked about last hour, why are you having him continue to play through that if that's something that he was? And maybe he just felt really comfortable with it. I know, like, at one point in my life, a doctor thought that I had a sports hernia, and they were, like, going to rush me into surgery. And then another doctor came in and was like, yeah, you don't have a sports hernia. I was like, oh, okay, good. I remember calling my wife, and I was like, I'm at the emergency room, and they're taking me to surgery because it was that serious. Now, obviously, it's a little bit different for just like a normal person and an athlete. But the fact that Donovan evidently did play through a hernia for a while, That's something that is notable, and you wonder if that's going to continue on. We will take a break, and when we return, we'll talk to Jacob Sersosimo. We'll get his thoughts a little bit on what's going on with the Cardinals, baseball playoffs, but also some hockey stuff as the Blues. They are they're a weird team through the first four games of the season, but most teams are. Generally, your identity not totally out through the first four. We'll talk with Jacob Sersosimo coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. You're locked to a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just
for
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
At Designer Shoe Warehouse, we believe that shoes are an important part of, well,
everything. From first steps to first dates, from all-nighters to all-time personal bests.
From building pillow forts to building a life.
For all the big and small moments that make up your whole world, DSW is there. And we've got just the shoes. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love at brag-worthy prices at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. My name is Matt Pauly, taking you until 8 o'clock this evening. We're keeping tabs on what's going on in baseball. Blues back at tomorrow. Big game this weekend for Missouri as they look to bounce back after a tough loss this past weekend. To talk about all that and more, happy to welcome back onto the program our good friend. You see him on Channel 4, also on Matrix Midwest. He is Jacob Sersosimo. Hi, Jacob. How are you?
Good, Matt. How are you guys doing?
Doing all right. By the way, you can follow Jacob on Twitter at Jacob Sersosimo, which is C-E-R-S-O-S-I-M-O. That's how you spell it. There will be a test on that coming up later on. Let's start with Missouri. You guys are so connected with all the programming that you do, connected with the Tigers. And this is kind of an odd game because it's a team in Auburn that they absolutely should beat, but it's their first road game of the year, and it's going to be a desperate Auburn team because Hugh Freeze might be coaching for his job.
Yeah, I believe Hugh Freeze is coaching for his job. I actually did an interview that's going to air tomorrow morning on Mizzou Live on Matrix Midwest at 10 a.m. with the sports director, Rosie Langello, in Birmingham, Alabama. And she was talking about how much talent that Auburn has and how they can't win games and how that's a coaching problem. And if he loses this game, she believes he's going to be fired. Now, you look at what Auburn's had to play this year. They've played A&M, they've played Georgia, they've played Oklahoma. You talk about a tough SEC schedule, they've had it, and now they play another ranked team in Mizzou. So it hasn't been easy for Auburn, but they do have a ton of skill. And it seems like what she told me was they haven't been able to make the halftime adjustments needed. And so when you're looking at a team that's had coaching problems and you're coaching for your job, that's a scary team to go against, because a lot of times those teams feel like they got nothing to lose anyway. They're already losing. And when you look at what Mizzou did last week with Alabama, there's some things they have to figure out. There really is a lot they have to figure out on offense. Their run game wasn't there like it's been the rest of the year. And like you added, it's their first road test of the season. And last year, they weren't necessarily a great road team. They go to Bama and get smacked, and then they go to, and they were at A&M and got smacked there as well. So they weren't necessarily a great road team last year. Now this year they did have a practice at Lindenwood that they said that Drinkwitz tried to simulate a road game, but it's not really a road game till it's a road game. It's not really a road game till you have to get on a flight, sit next to somebody, get your key, go to the hotel, drive, you know, the whole thing. So I'm really interested to see if they come out flat or not tomorrow morning.
And that was like 3 months ago too, Jacob. I appreciated it in the moment when they were doing it, but now that so much time has passed, I would openly wonder how much impact did that really have when that happened before the season even started, and we're sitting here talking on October 17th.
Yeah, I mean, you're right, and I respect the effort to do that by Drinkwitz. I really do. I'm not sure how else you do it with the schedule they've had. I'm not really a huge fan of the six straight home games, and I really wasn't a fan of the four straight home games last year, just because you get in such a rhythm. Like, these players have been in a rhythm with a bye week now for 7 weeks where they just haven't left Columbia. Everything's been right there, and they're a rhythm just doing everything consistent and doing it in Columbia. And now they shake up everything that they've known for the first 2 months of the season, and they have to fly to Auburn, Alabama. So I'm not a huge fan of the six home games to start the season, and I think it opens them up to struggles being on the road this late in the season. And I mean, to be fair, they really only have four road games this year, so it's an interesting tactic, I will say. And I don't know if it paid off last year. I don't think it did, and it's to be determined if it will again this year.
They essentially could probably lose one more time and still have a legitimate shot to get into the college football playoff. I guess there's a scenario that with three losses, depending on what else happens, maybe they could get in. But when they're in a period right now where there's four games, Alabama, Auburn, Vanderbilt, and Texas A&M, and three of those four teams are ranked and one isn't, it certainly makes it feel like this game could be a trap game, but at the same time, this game holds so much importance because you might kiss any opportunity for a college football playoff berth just out the door if you don't come up with a win.
You just have to hold serve. I mean, you look at what they've done, you have to hold serve, and they didn't. I mean, they did it technically what they're supposed to do when it comes to rankings against Alabama, but you have to hold serve against teams you're supposed to beat. What do good teams do, Matt? You've followed sports for a long time. They beat teams they're supposed to beat, and they beat them as if they're playing a better team, right? Like, you can't go to Auburn and play really, like, not play well at all and play down to Auburn's level and then either lose or lose close. And I think we saw this with last year. You look at the two losses they had, and you could look at those two losses. I mean, they lost to South Carolina as well. But if you just looked at the Bama and A&M loss, and you told someone before the season that they're going to have two losses to those two teams, would they still have a shot at the playoff? Or even three losses, because South Carolina was good last year. But then you look at the way that they lost to Bama and the way that they lost to A&M. And this year, a different story. They play Bama really close, and they're a top-10 team. And so I think it really matters on how they play against these teams. With 12 teams getting into the playoff, I think scores really do matter. And yes, you might be able to squeak in with three losses, but even a two-loss team, I mean, we've seen this in the first year of the playoff, a two-loss team, if those two losses are terrible, really bad, they lose by a bunch to good teams, are they really going to let them squeak in to compared to a team that has three losses and really close losses to ranked teams? So I think it really matters just how they play on the road and holding serve, and you have to hold serve starting with Auburn.
We're talking with Jacob Sersosimo, Channel 4, Matrix Midwest. We're probably going to talk for another 3-4 minutes. How many more tennis references do you think you can get in before we're done?
Yeah, I didn't even realize that I said holding serve, so I apologize there. I was thinking right before this call, I was like, there's really not much going on in the tennis world, so I don't think he's going to ask me anything tennis, but of course, it's just part of my vocabulary at this point.
We're going to count. I'm putting you on notice. Let's see how many more tennis references you can get in before all is said and done. Do you any like wide-ranging thoughts on the Blues, who have played just four games, so nothing really matters at this point, but they've looked pretty good on the road, they've looked terrible at home? I don't know. Like, I feel dumb even asking because it's four games and we can't really evaluate much at this point in time.
I mean, you're right. I always feel like I'm a really bad person to ask early season thoughts on teams because early seasons, I'm always like, it's early. Like, so much can change. And we've seen that in so many other sports. Now, to be fair, I've been wrong in that aspect where teams have played really good or really bad early in the season, and then it turns out to be their true identity. But I do think it's just four games. They haven't played well at home. You know they can play well at home. I'm just really curious on how Jim Montgomery responds to this whole thing. Because last year, he comes in, and there wasn't a whole lot of expectations on him last year coming into the season because he took over a team that wasn't playing great last year. And then you go on this huge run to the playoffs, and he's the king of St. Louis. And he's the best thing that's happened since 2019. And they're playing really well. They go on the 12-game win streak. They don't lose at home for the last 15 games they play on Enterprise Ice to end the season, including the playoffs. And then now they come in this year, and their expectations are sky high, and they have to live up to these expectations. And now people are starting to wonder, can they even play hockey? So I think they're going to be fine. I think it's a couple really bad losses, but they're just that. And I won't say hockey is baseball where they play every day, but they do play more than they do in football. And so your time to overreact is about 24 hours and then it's over. So I think they'll be fine. I think it's some early season trying to get to know this group and what they're doing. But I think in the long term, they'll be just fine. I'm not freaking out over a double fault, you know?
So Logan Mayu, he was scratched, and we'll see. By the way, you're going to get a bell every time you get a tennis reference in. what? So much like promise for this guy, but at the same time, he's struggling here in the early going. Jim Montgomery talked a lot about today about kind of the emotional side of things, that when you got a young guy like that who maybe you have to take out of the lineup, you want to make sure that you can do everything to help him ease back in and be able to be an impactful player. They have such high hopes for him, but it has a little bit of a struggle for him here in the early going.
Yeah, I'm also not freaking out about Logan Mayu, and the reason I'm not is he's kind of set up for failure to start this season. One, he's traded for Zach Bolduc, and Zach Bolduc had a full season under his belt last year, correct? And
yes.
So when Zach Bolduc goes to the Canadiens, he has a full NHL season under his belt. Mayu does not have a full NHL season under his belt. Number two, Zach Bolduc and how he plays can be directly correlated to his numbers. He's on offense, he gets points, he's supposed to score, he's supposed to do all that. When you're a third-line defenseman, you're not necessarily going to be putting up points and scoring. So it's not really apples to apples to compare Zach Bolduc and what he's doing as a great forward in Montreal and what Logan Mayu is doing in St. Louis. And so there's going to be people that are going to be, oh my gosh, the Blues lost this trade immediately. Like, they lost this trade bad. Army didn't know what he was doing with this trade. Well, Army didn't make this trade for October of 2025. Army made this trade for the years that Alexander Steen takes over this program over the next 2 to 3 years. And so judging him off his first four games in St. Louis, when this is really his first taste of consistent NHL, and the thing I can compare this to is what we saw with the Cardinals. And you're bringing up guys Jordan Walker in his first year, where you bring him up for a sample size and send him down, and then bring him up for a sample size and send him down. Well, Logan Mayu isn't going to get sent down. He's going to stay. They're going to let him learn and let him do what he is right now. And right now, yes, he's struggling a little bit, but it's his first taste of the NHL. And it's really unfair. And I'm not trying to, like, overly protect Mayu. I'm not trying to do that, but I'm just saying, like, you can't really compare Bolduc to Mayu in this trade right now. And they play two very different positions.
Last thing for you. You mentioned the Cardinals. We got a message today about Brendan Donovan and Lars Nootbaar and Yvonne Herrera all getting various offseason surgeries. We didn't really know the thing about Nootbaar and the heels being shaved off with the Haglund's deformities is what they call it. Did anything jump out at you about that, where maybe something was impacted in the year? I just kind of a open-ended question here, because obviously that's something that when it comes to the Cardinals and injuries, we don't get that information a lot, but it was good to see that. And I don't know, I guess it's good to know that these guys are dealing with that moving forward.
Yeah, when we got that message, I was a bit surprised. I didn't see it coming. Am I really surprised? I'm a little surprised they had surgery. I had no idea anything was going on with these guys. I don't know if it directly correlates to how they played, because if they're struggling with something that's somewhat affecting what they're doing, I feel like we're going to hear about it or ask about it, or somebody's going to say something about it. And I could be wrong in that aspect, but I think when guys are struggling with something, I mean, there's 25 media members sitting in the press box watching, you know, how they walk, how they do things. They're there pregame, chatting with them. Something's going to get found out. And, I mean, perfect example is Mason Wynn struggling with the knee injury. You know, he looks really good when he's making plays, but he has this knee injury and it comes to light. So I think if these were really, really bad, we would have known of them, and we didn't hear of them during the season. And I could be wrong. It could have been the other way around, where it was really bad, but no one ever said anything about it. But I don't think any of them really jump out to me as being concerning for what the future could hold. Because, I mean, Donnie had a good year. Herrera was good in the batter's box. Lars Nootbaar was up and down. So it's not like someone had just a terrible year and now you're like, oh, he had his heel shaved off. So I don't think they're overly concerning.
He is Jacob Sersosimo. For folks listening, give a little plug for all the Mizzou programming you do on the weekend. I know you alluded to it earlier, but I know you guys put a ton of work into it, and it's something that I think fans should know is going on over at Matrix Midwest.
Yeah, lots of work into it. Tamar Scher and our photographer Adam Randall right now are in Alabama as they get ready for Auburn-Mizzou tomorrow morning. We have a live pregame show that goes every Saturday morning on Matrix Midwest, over the air, Channel 32, Spectrum Channel 6, on the Matrix Midwest app and on matrixmidwest.com. That is 10 a.m. every Saturday. Justin Gage joins one of us. We got someone on the field. We do exclusive interviews with a player every week, a player spotlight, and we also do a sit-down interview with Coach Drinkwitz every week. That we do in Columbia and bring it to you on Saturday mornings. And then Mizzou Final Whistle airs on Matrix Midwest as well, 9:30 on Sunday morning. So we cover all things Mizzou. Justin Gage gives us fantastic insight. 8 years in the NFL. He's a Mizzou Hall of Famer, and he knows what he's looking at and what he's talking about. So it's really good to have a great asset like Justin on those shows. But yeah, they're great. 10 a.m. Saturday, 9:30 a.m. Sunday.
Really appreciate the time. I didn't miss another tennis reference, did I?
No, I didn't. Okay. I even kind of forced the double fault one in.
That's
there.
Right.
I feel bad about it.
That's
so.
Okay.
I'll be a little better prepared.
I got to ring the bell once. That's all I was going for. I wanted to do a Dave Glover impersonation. So there you go. Jacob, always appreciate it. We'll see you real soon.
Thanks for the time, Matt.
You bet. That's Jacob Sersosimo joining us on the program. If you don't know, if you're just maybe finding this show and finding Jacob, he's a big tennis guy. He's got a tennis podcast that he does, and he's great to be able to talk tennis. But we just, like he alluded to, we don't have a whole lot of tennis stuff to talk about right now, so we didn't get to that. But I appreciated the tennis references that he was able to make. We'll take a break. We've got more coming up in just a moment. This is that much better that not only are they spending money at the major league level, but they're spending at the minor league level as well. But I push back a little bit that this series is going to have this huge impact on whether or not there's going to be a work stoppage. I understand that we can sit here and say this is these are the two different pathways you can take in Major League Baseball. You can go the Brewers way, where you're really, really smart, you don't spend a whole lot of money, or you can do it the Dodgers way, where you throw money at absolutely every aspect of the organization. But I don't think that you're going to walk into CBA negotiations and say, oh, the Dodgers swept the Brewers in the 2025 NLCS, or the Dodgers beat the Brewers 4-1 in the 2025 NLCS, so all these changes all of a sudden have to be made. Owners already feel a certain way about a good number of things, and players feel a certain way. It was incredible. The last collective bargaining agreement, the ink wasn't even dry, and we were already hearing things from both sides about what it was going to look like the next time. And from a national perspective, the agreement was almost being referred to as a win for the players. So it felt like the owners were getting ready to mount up and not have back-to-back CBAs that are win for the players, even though almost every CBA leading up to that had been considered a win for the owners. I don't like the idea that there has to be a winner and a loser on this. When you're going through negotiations, when you're trying to work through something, it should be a little bit painful for both sides. And if the players go in and say, we have to win, or if the owners go in and say, we have to win, well, that's going to be the first domino in what would result in potentially an extended work stoppage. The attitude from both sides has to be, we're going to go in and we're going to fight for some things, and we're going to win some of those fights, and we're going to lose some of those fights, and we're going to feel some pain. And at the end of the day, we're going to get a few things, they're going to get a few things, and baseball will continue to be played. I don't think they have that attitude. I don't think either side has that attitude. Because everything we hear right now is both sides trying to get ready for a fight. And instead of getting ready for a fight, get ready for a really tough negotiation. Those are two different things. A negotiation is something where it can get, there can be animosity, there can be conflict, there can be all of that, but it's not a fight. It's everybody's on the same page in terms of trying to keep baseball being played while at the same time getting the best possible deal for your side. I think the Brewers even being in the NLCS, and baseball is so random. Baseball is so incredibly random. I mean, you are in this series, you're a guy jumping out of the way from a pitch instead of just taking it from that game, maybe going in a different direction. Brewers could have easily won that game. Brewers offense has just completely gone into the tank. And a lot of that is a credit to the Dodgers and the Dodgers pitching, not trying to run away from that at all. But this is not the series. These are not the games that are going to determine whether or not there's going to be an extended work stoppage. I do think when other owners are looking around and looking at the Dodgers and looking at all the advantages that they do have, how do you even out that playing field a little bit? I strongly believe that there's not going to be a salary cap. I don't think the players will ever, no matter how high it is, I don't think the players will ever agree to a salary cap. But there are some things you can put in place. You can create another threshold or lower the threshold for the luxury tax. You can make the luxury tax penalties even higher, so more money gets distributed to other teams, where you're giving other teams more of an opportunity to spend more money if they will actually go do that. You can add a salary floor to make sure that all teams are spending at least a certain amount of money to increase competitiveness. Like, there are things you can do without a cap. And if we're being very honest about things, the luxury tax, in many ways, for most teams, it's a cap. It's not a cap that applies to all of baseball, and that's part of the problem here. When you have a cap that only applies to teams that won't go into the luxury tax, well, then that gives an advantage to the teams that are fine with it. But that's why you potentially add another threshold to it, where maybe some other teams get into it, and again, the money comes back around on the other
coach and know that. Know that this ain't happening and this isn't happening. But these things in the middle, they might happen. So deal with that, even if it's going to hurt a little bit. But I'm a little bit uncomfortable with this Brewers-Dodgers series being lifted up as this is the series for the future of baseball. No, it's not. No, it's not. No, it's not. One more break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up hour number one of the program. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauly on KMOX.
All right, starting to wrap up hour number one of the program. Hour number two, we've got a lot going on. We are going to talk with Tom Hart just after the 7 o'clock news. He's going to be on the call for the television broadcast of Mizzou and Auburn coming up tomorrow, so we'll talk with him. Also, we'll talk some Blues hockey, listening in to some of what Jim Montgomery had to say when he met with the media earlier today. And our Friday tradition, we will hear from Kansas City Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes, the weekly conversation that he has with Carrington Harrison on our sister station in Kansas City, 96.5 The Fan. We'll hear from Patrick Mahomes. Give me just a moment here to be, I guess, a little bit self-indulgent, if possible. I was not on last night, thanks to Nate Gatter for filling in for me. I got to be part of something that was really, really, really cool. And for those of you who don't know, I am I'm a proud graduate of Ladue High School, and Ladue has a very, very strong history of athletics, and they had never had an athletic Hall of Fame, and they made the decision that they were going to do an athletic Hall of Fame, and last night was the first induction and gala that went along with it, and they asked me to come in and be the MC of it. It was really cool. It was really cool, and some of the names that got put into the Hall of Fame last night were awesome. And I'm not trying to take it. I think 24, 25 people and teams were put in. So can't mention everybody, but just you think about the athletics at high schools coming out of St. Louis. And I'm sure there's a lot of schools that can claim this kind of athletic prowess, but Becky Sauerbrunn got put in last night from a soccer standpoint, which was awesome. From a football standpoint, Andy Russell, who played for years for the Pittsburgh Steelers, was part of the great teams in the 1970s. He went in. J.U. Chason, who played at Michigan and then played in the NFL. Jack Fox, who is currently in the NFL, he got inducted. Lou Brock Jr., the son of Lou Brock, he went in. Lots of track athletes going in. Jim Halliburton, swimming and diving, just what he did internationally, incredible. Marty Hogan, who you may not know that name, but he's somebody that from a racquetball standpoint, from again, internationally known for what he did with racquetball. So it was a really cool night. I was blown away that I got to be a part of it. I joked last night that somebody with the unremarkable athletic career that I had in high school got to be on stage during an event like that last night, but it was really cool. So I really appreciate the Ladue School District and all the folks over there for inviting me on. They gave a little, they gave recognition to me at the end, which was completely unexpected and very, very cool. So I wanted to mention that. So I wanted to say thank you to all the folks at Ladue for having me yesterday. It was a really special night, a really cool night, and just a great example of the amazing athletes that have come out of the St. Louis area and specifically the high school that I went to that I'm very, very proud of. We'll take a break. When we come back, we'll jump back into Missouri football. We'll do that after the 7 o'clock news right here on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law. You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
You're tuned into Auto Intelligence, live from Auto Trader, where data, tools, and your preferences sync to make your car shopping smooth.
They're searching inventory.
Oh, yeah.
They find what you need.
They're gonna find it.
They can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. Pricing's precise and true.
So true.
It's smarter car shopping.
Ooh.
Just for you.
Oh, it's just for you. Ooh. Find your next ride at autotrader.com. Powered by Auto Intelligence.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
Once again, Matt Pauly on King of OX.
Back as we roll into our second hour tomorrow, a big game for Missouri coming off a loss, trying to get things going, playing their first road game of the season, which is an incredible thing to say on a game that's taking place on October 18th. The game is going to be a 6:45 kickoff on SEC Network, and on the call is going to be Tom Hart. You follow him on Twitter at Tom_Hart, and he joins us right now on the program. Tom, thanks for taking some time. How are you?
I'm doing great. Just enjoying the loveliest village on the plains, and looking forward to seeing a bunch of black and gold in the building tomorrow.
Yeah, what's this game for Missouri? This is an odd game because on paper it feels like Missouri is a much better team than Auburn, at least from my perspective, but Auburn's coach, Hugh Freeze, might be coaching for his job. Missouri's coming off a tough loss. They've got really big games coming up the next 2 weeks. It seems like there's a lot of things kind of swirling around with this game.
Yeah, the Freeze component is really interesting. If you look at where college football is in this day and age, a power conference coach who has lost three in a row in this year has found himself on the outside, whether that be Penn State, Oklahoma State, we can go all the way down the list. Like, if you lose three in a row, you're usually still not coaching. But the manner in which Auburn has lost at least two of these three games, and they've all been close, has left their very dedicated fan base livid. You know, they had a touchdown that the SEC against the Oklahoma scored against them. SEC came out later and said, shouldn't have counted, was an illegal play. They had a goal line fumble that was very controversial that went George's way, and then Kirby Smart timeout that was granted to him in the fourth quarter. There just always seems to be drama around this program, which makes for great television. It doesn't always make for winning football. And so, yeah, there's a lot of pressure on Freeze in this program. Their quarterback, Jackson Arnold, who played – fairly well against Missouri last year, scored on a halfback toss when he was the starting quarterback at Oklahoma, but just had too many turnovers and fell out of favor there. It was a big money quarterback. He just hasn't played like it. I think what I come back to is, just to simplify this game, is Auburn has an elite defense, and their defensive coordinator, DJ Durkin, has been around for a while. He's got a good name. And Missouri's got one of the best running games in the country, and certainly the best, one of the best running backs in Ahmad Hardy.
Missouri really didn't utilize that running game last week against Alabama. Did that surprise you, and do they probably try to really revert course because of that?
Yeah, I think they want to get back to basics. I mean, the stretch zone that they run, I mean, you had a running back just a couple of years ago led the SEC in rushing, running, you know, a very simple variation of let's just hand the ball off, let him get to the edge, and then find his gap somewhere before he gets to the outside. That comes with, by the way, great tackles and great offensive linemen. So it's good to see Caden Green back. I'm not sure if he's 100% healthy, but I think that'll be a key for Missouri. You know, it's what Alabama is a great team, right? They not only they have great tradition, but now after that opening loss to Florida State, they've found their footing. So it's nothing to sneeze at dropping that game at home. I know it was disappointing to a lot of the black and gold faithful, but Hardy's got to be a guy against this Auburn defense that can get the tough yards. And I think that's probably what this game will come down to. I think it's a pretty simple breakdown. Can Missouri run the ball against this Auburn defense?
You like to have a little bit of experience playing road games before this point. I know Coach Drinkwitz brought his team here to St. Louis to Lindenwood during the preseason and tried to almost replicate a road game just schedule by doing that. But that was months ago, and it's not playing a road game. How much of a challenge, and how much does the fact that Missouri's playing their first road game play into this whole thing tomorrow?
Well, their plane was a little late getting into Montgomery tonight. So right off the bat, a bit of a snafu. You know, the buses weren't late rolling down I-70 to Lindenwood, I'm sure. but the real issue comes not in, you know, trying to make sure everything's on time and that people know how to go through warm-ups and what bus to be on. The challenge is if you allow this Auburn crowd to get into it early. And if you have negative plays on offense and you give them a chance then to impact the game anywhere in the SEC, but especially a place like Auburn, that's where the difference is. You can go to down I-70 all you want. That'll be a challenge. And Eli Drinkwitz is aware of that. And I think maybe and by the way, that's why I think that the run game is so important. You know, you avoid negative plays early in the game and throughout the first quarter, you have a chance to kind of take that crowd out of it. This is people who have never been here, and I think Missouri's only played here once, and they don't have much history with Auburn. This is an incredible fan base. They show up when the team's doing well. They show up when the team's terrible. We had that a couple years ago when they had an interim head coach and all was lost, and they sold out 88,000 just to show that they still support their team. So it's a great place for a road trip, you know, from a fan perspective. It's a fun environment from a broadcaster perspective, but it's not an easy place to play for the visiting team.
Well, we talked about Jackson Arnold as a transfer quarterback coming in, Bo Pribula for Mizzou. The numbers are pretty good for him. Maybe last week he wasn't as good as you would like, but what's been your general takeaway from what the Tigers have gotten out of Pribula this year?
Well, what's really interesting about it is he doesn't have a whole lot of snaps under his belt from a career standpoint, right? So you look at quarterbacks in the SEC, most of them are experienced. You know, Arnold's a good example. He backed up a really good quarterback in Dylan Gabriel as a freshman at Oklahoma, but still played in a ton of games and started their bowl game and took over as a starter last year at Oklahoma before things kind of went sideways. Where that impacts Bo within the game is some of the decision-making and understanding that just because you get a look pre-snap doesn't mean that they're not going to rotate the safeties or change that look post-snap. And I think that's where he got into trouble at times against Alabama, where they had open wide receivers that didn't get the ball. So that's an adjustment for offensive coordinator Kirby Moore. That's an area of growth. And I was just talking with Drinkwitz couple hours ago, and he mentioned that, you know, they had good on good practice on Wednesday and put him in some game situations, end of clock situations, and they were very pleased with how he led the offense down the field and scored against their defense. And that easier said than done when you go on the road against a defense as good as Auburn is.
Couple more minutes with Tom Hart. He'll be on the call tomorrow on SEC Network as Mizzou and Auburn match up. You mentioned earlier that right now, Power 5 coaches that are losing three games in a row, we're seeing some of them get fired. A lot of coaching openings, a lot of coaching firings this year in college football. It used to be that college football midseason firings were very rare, and they are not rare anymore. Do you attribute this just to kind of the professionalization of college football with NIL and everything else that's gone along with it? Has the moving on from coaches quicker been kind of just a byproduct of that?
I blame Indiana football. You know, there was a time where you would go to an Indiana game and there would be more students gathered in the field to the southeast of the stadium than were in the stadium. And now, in just a year and a half, Kurt Cignetti has said, we are a top five program and we can qualify for the playoffs. And by the way, we can do that with guys from James Madison, as they did last year. And you can argue about their strength of schedule, and I think that's a fair criticism. But the bottom line is, what he has proven, schedule be damned, is that you no longer need a five-year runway to become a winning program. And in addition to that, therefore, I think athletic directors are going to realize very soon, well, we no longer need to give these long-term guaranteed contracts to guys. I mean, James Franklin just a few years ago signed a 10-year deal. Jimbo Fisher, before being fired at A&M, they expected him to win a national championship for him, signed a 10-year, $75 million deal, and then got an extension. So that, I think, is the biggest example. And I also think that there was always a bit of a stress point when, let's be honest, things were under the table when it came to boosters, mm-hmm. and their expectation for a certain player was, hey, I paid out cash to this kid, I expect a better performance. Well, now it's all above board. And those expectations, as the money has increased and been distributed throughout an entire roster, the expectations have increased. They're now professionals. I mean, they really are. Quarterbacks are making $3 million to go out there and play for dear old alma mater. You that brings with it expectations and a lot of pressure. And if you don't perform or you can't get the players to perform, they're not going to wait around long. The flip side of the coin is, if you don't want to fire the coach, all you have to do, if you're a booster, is turn the faucet off, and you'll bleed them out, and you'll force that athletic director to go find a new coach. It happens a lot quicker than it used to, for sure.
Yeah, it's incredible. Last thing for you, just on that topic, Eli Drinkwitz's name always gets brought up in these, and everything he has said and everything he has done makes it seem like he is very committed to Missouri, but here we are. He's already been mentioned again. Where do you see this going? When you talk with Drinkwitz, do you believe that this is somebody who is really locked into Missouri and is going to continue to build this thing the way he's been doing?
I've never asked him about that. I think all coaches want to be wanted, and maybe even just as important or more so, they want to be at a place where they can A, get into the playoff, and then B, win a national championship. And maybe maybe that's all changed with Indiana's success. I really do think that, you know, they're probably an outlier, but if not, they're changing the landscape of college football. And I think with Drink, he's going to be wanted as long as he keeps winning. But what he has done, and I look at the St. Louis market specifically, but what he has done right off the bat where other coaches have failed, in this era of needing cash, he has done a remarkable job of mining those boosters to get them invested in his program, to get the money to build this roster, to then to compete for championships. Just look at the players from St. Louis that he's picked up over the years, where in years past, those guys have been able to, you know, the Big Ten has come in and stole those mm-hmm. guys year after year. And now he's changed that in one fell swoop, and he's got the resources to continue, and that's not guaranteed. You know, even a place like Florida, just because they have some money doesn't mean they have the right kind of money to you know, fund the program to the extent that you can get those guys in.
He is Tom Hart. He's going to be on the SEC Network call coming up tomorrow evening, Missouri at Auburn. Tom, thank you for being so gracious with your time. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, absolutely. Enjoy Friday night.
Awesome.
Thanks for having me.
You bet. Thank you. That's Tom Hart joining us. You can follow him on Twitter as well at Tom_Hart. But he'll be on the call coming up tomorrow as Missouri and Auburn are set to match up against each other. And it's just I think it's a very intriguing game. Sometimes you would want to be able to hop in the DeLorean and almost see how you view something in a different circumstance, if that makes sense. So I'm worried about this game for Missouri. I think, let me be clear, I think Missouri is better than Auburn. And I think if they put their anything close to their best effort on the field, or even they would tell you they have not. We talked with Howard Richards, 2 days ago. And Howard said to us, look, Missouri hasn't played the best football game yet. So they don't, when I say if they put their best performance on the field, what I mean is best yet. If they match what they have done this year when they've been at their best, well, then they're going to win the game. And they don't even probably need to do that. But there's just enough stuff. There's enough stuff. This is one of those stuff games where there's a bunch of other stuff going on. It's Missouri playing their first road game. It's Missouri's plane getting in late that we just learned about with Tom Hart. It's Missouri having two ranked opponents coming up after this game. It's Auburn having a coach that could get fired if they lose this game. There's just a lot of, Tom said it, from like a TV standpoint, from a narrative standpoint, from a looking at this and being able to tell good stories, yeah, there's a lot of really good stories, and that's great. But sometimes when there's a bunch of good stories, some of those stories result in something that you don't really want it to result in. And that's why I'm concerned. I'm concerned about this game. I think Missouri's probably going to win. Point spread has them as a 1.5 favorite. So it's expected to be a tight game. It's expected to be a relatively low scoring game at that as well, at 43.5. I'm very hopeful. If Missouri can put their best effort on the field or something close to it and win that game, they're in a really good spot at that point. Because then you look at the rest of where they're at from there, and they still kind of have one loss available to them. They've got some really tough games coming up. But you think that, I think Missouri's better than Vanderbilt. Winning at Vanderbilt will be a challenge, but I think Missouri's better than Vanderbilt. I think Missouri and Oklahoma are very, very similar to each other. And the Texas A&M, Missouri's not as good as Texas A&M. Now they play that game at home. My belief is Missouri's good enough to beat anybody at home, again, if they play well. But I think those are winnable games, even on the road, Vanderbilt and Oklahoma. But you know what? I say that having not seen Missouri play on the road this year. That's another thing here. We don't know. There are teams that look different on the road than they look at home. And I can sit here and tell you what Missouri looks like on paper and play that game and do all that. I don't actually know what Missouri looks like when they go on the road, if they are going to be very similar to who they are the rest of the time or if it's going to look different. We'll start to get an answer to that question coming up tomorrow. Also coming up tomorrow, the Blues are in action. They are going to take on the Dallas Stars. Blues coach Jim Montgomery spent some time talking with the media earlier today. We'll play back some of what he had to say as they go into a big game against the Stars tomorrow. That's up next. It's Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. Matt Pauly back with you. We take you until 8 o'clock this evening. The Blues are back at tomorrow night. They will be at home against the Dallas Stars. They're still looking to find some traction at home. Their two home games, a 5-0 loss to the Wild and an 8-3 loss to the Blackhawks. Their two road games were 4-2 wins against the Flames and then 5-2 win against the Vancouver Canucks. Head coach Jim Montgomery spent some time talking with the media earlier today during practice. We saw a good number of combinations that were a little bit different, and he explained, using a sound effect here to start his comment, he explained what he was doing in terms of moving things around.
I'm going to blender it up. We just want to see different people, and you know, like there's some of these combinations that I thought, well, you know what, when it's always going to present itself. You're always going to go through a situation where we're not generating enough offensively. We're turning over too many pucks. It's just the way we are right now. So I want to find more speed offensively, be a little more vertical on entries. And we're trying to put people that complement each other well. We thought we had that before, but season's long. It might end up back that way in another 2 weeks because we know the way it was has worked before.
Good usage of the blender sound effect there from Montgomery at the beginning of that comment. Also said that he's looking to change some things up on the power play as well.
Yeah, there's no flow. There's no mojo when we go over the boards right now. It's been okay, the power play. We're generating chances. But the momentum it's given our team isn't at the level we want. So we've gone with one unit where we put Kyrou and Thomas back together. And, you know, the other unit, we get to see Snuggerud on the elbow and get to use his shot.
From a defensive standpoint, there are going to be some changes. It looks like Logan Mailloux is going to come out of the lineup, at least for a little while. And being inserted in is going to be Matthew Kessel. He'll be on that third defensive pairing with Tyler Tucker. They continue to be very excited about Mailloux and what he's going to be moving forward. But Montgomery did talk a bit on the decision and what they're doing in terms of him coming out of the lineup, at least for a little while.
When you think about players' development in the league, it's always goaltenders take the longest. That's why they played to the oldest average age. Defensemen are second. Forwards finish the youngest, especially in the modern era. Like, forwards usually at the age of 32, they're starting to decline. For a defenseman, it's more like 34, 35, and goaltenders more like 37. That's just the way it seems like it's been. And that being said, I mean, have you guys heard of Fabian Brunstrom? Yeah. You would know from Dallas, right? 2008 free agent signing. Everybody wanted to sign him. First game in the league, scored 3 goals. Everybody is like, oh, here's a new Yari Curry or, you know, Matt Sundin in the National Hockey League. You guys haven't heard of him. There's a reason, right? And then there's other guys that, you know, this is a hard league to break into, especially at that position. And we're thinking the long game with Logan Mailloux. Sometimes you need a reset. You go up in the press box, watch a game. You see how much time you have. You see how to take away time. And we're going to work with him. We have a plan. And when he gets back in the lineup, I don't ever expect him to come back out.
No matter the sport, no matter the situation, it is never easy for a player to be taken off the ice, off the field, off the court, whatever it might be. And Montgomery talked about just how you handle the emotional side of these kind of decisions.
As a coach, you have to look after everybody mentally. It's part of the job. Not just to be able to support these guys, and that sometimes you've got to kick them in the rear end, you know? And you need to build them up so that they understand that you believe in them. But ice time, I mean, I love the line from Bobby Knight. There's nothing that teaches people better than ass meet bench, bench meet ass. That's the only tool a coach has always had to get a player's attention when they're not playing to the team standard. And that's not the case with Logan Mailloux, but it's been the case oftentimes in the past.
Jim, he was pretty
not with him, but with other players.
As mentioned, Matthew Kessel, he is the guy who's going to be inserted into the lineup at least for a little while. And Montgomery talked about what he would like to see from Kessel.
His best game is he's really aggressive from the red line in, pinching pucks, jumping into plays. Want to see him get more aggressive from the red line back towards our goal line, killing plays and starting plays.
There continues to be some good things that the team is doing defensively, and from Montgomery's standpoint, that all starts with a really good beginning of the season for Philip Broberg.
I think Broberg has probably had the best camp slash start to the regular season of any of our defensemen. In practice today, I just see him making reads, and he's using his God-given feet and length to kill plays, and he's ready to jump into offense. So just, you know, if there's a player that I'm excited about where he's at in his game, it would be Broberg.
And the last thing from Montgomery, he was asked a bit about the aggressiveness of his goaltenders and how often he wants them to come out and play the puck and if they're doing it too often. And he essentially said that he's happy with the aggressiveness, although teammates have to be there for puck support to help the goaltenders be able to make the decisions that they want to make and for it all to work.
There's been a couple of plays that have been high risk this year. Some of that is on the player support, puck support of our goaltenders. And some of it is just our goaltenders are so good with the puck that we all trust them so much that sometimes you try and do too much. And instead of just moving it to the first option, you look and hold for the third option. Defensemen do it. You know, fortunately for goaltenders, they have no line of defense when they turn it over. But we're always going to encourage our goaltenders to trust their instincts.
That is Blues head coach Jim Montgomery. Again, the Blues are back at tomorrow when they take on the Dallas Stars. We'll take a break. When we come back, we've got our weekly conversation with Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. We'll hear that coming up in just a moment. Don't go anywhere. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX. It's Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX. The Kansas City Chiefs, they have really turned things around very quickly. If you look at the odds right now, according to some sports books out there, the Chiefs are once again the Super Bowl favorite for this year. And it was not that long ago that you were looking at teams like the Ravens and the Bills as having better odds. Buffalo is still right there with Kansas City. But even with a record of 3-3, having won three of their last four with convincing victories against both the Ravens and Lions during that time, a lot of people are looking at the Chiefs as being right back on track. This past weekend against the Lions, they were quite impressive. Quarterback Patrick Mahomes, 257 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions. Chiefs are now getting ready for a game against the Raiders coming up, so they've got a divisional matchup, and that is going to be taking place coming up on Sunday afternoon, and you'll be able to hear it right here on KMOX with a 12 noon kickoff. As always around this time, we get to listen in to the conversation that Mahomes had with our sister station, 96.5 The Fan in Kansas City, and host Carrington Harrison. And in fact, as they did speak this week, it was Harrison who informed Mahomes that he was indeed the AFC Offensive Player of the Week.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I just came from a walkthrough, so you are the first person to inform me that. That's awesome.
Look at that. We've had a lot of firsts in our lives. I never thought I'd be the first to tell you that you won an award that obviously you care so much about.
No, it still is. It's an honor, man. I mean, there's a lot of great football players in this league, and I appreciate you keeping me updated on everything happening in the NFL.
There's a lot to talk about. Let's just go ahead and get this out of the way. There was a kerfluffle at the end of Sunday Night Football. You were in the middle of it, so to speak. Just tell us your view, your vantage point. What happened at the end of Sunday Night Football?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, kind of a scuffle broke out, and I was just trying to get it all separated. So, it happens. It's football. It's competitive, and everybody wants to win, but now we kind of move on and keep it rolling. That's kind of the part of the game that we kind of have to deal with sometimes.
Have you ever been a part of something like that at the end of the game? It kind of felt like the end of a college football game. You know, we've kind of seen that in those rivalry games. Obviously not the case with this one. Have you been a part of anything like that at the end of a football game?
No scuffles or anything like that. I mean, obviously it's an emotional game, and everybody is competing to win, and sometimes the emotion get the best of us, but no scuffles for me, no.
Right now we're talking to the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, Patrick Mahomes. A couple of things that I want you to be aware of. You are the fastest player in NFL history to throw for 300 touchdown passes in their career. I feel like you've done so many of these things over your career. Is that something that people notify you of? Is that even something that you think about while the season is ongoing?
No, I mean, other than like just noticing on like social media and stuff after the game. You don't focus on that stuff during the seasons, especially. I mean, obviously when I look back at the season and review after the season or at the end of my career, I'm sure I'll really appreciate those things. And I know how hard it is and all the great guys that have come before me, but you're so focused on just trying to find ways to get wins in this league that you can't focus on those other things.
You are currently leading the MVP votes. I know it's very early on in the season, so I mean, no real reason to dive deep into it, but I think that's really an indication of how you've played so far in the first six games of the season and how this offense has really progressed over the last three, 4 weeks as well.
Yeah, we've gotten better. I mean, we're getting better and better each and every week, and that's all you can ask for is to continue to show improvements and learn from your mistakes in previous weeks. But it's still a long season ahead, and we're not where we want to be at, so we got to find ways to continue to get better and better as the season goes on to try to put ourselves in position to get to the playoffs and try to win the division.
It finally feels like we're here. You and I have talked about it. I'm sure you've been asked about it a million times. Rashee Rice is finally coming back to this offense. Let's just start with this. What does it mean to have a player like of his caliber and adding him to the offense?
Yeah, I mean, it's a couple things. I mean, obviously the player, I mean, he's an extremely talented player. He can do a lot of things, catching the football, running routes, being explosive and making plays happen all over the football field, from the line of scrimmage all the way to 50, 60 yards on the field. And those are special type of players. And so The player is one thing, but I think more than that is just the mentality and the energy that he brings. I mean, those receivers, man, they're like best friends. And so to finally get the full group together, it's going to be fun to watch because they've been building for it and they've worked through some adversity to get there with injuries and things like that. But so now let's get these guys out there and let them have fun and go out and play the game they love.
You mentioned having the full group. I mean, you haven't had them at any point. You haven't had Rashee Rice, Xavier Worthy, and Hollywood Brown all on the field at the same time. You then add Juju Smith-Schuster into that mix. You add Tyquan Thornton into the mix. You got a very full wide receiver room at this point with a lot of explosiveness.
100%. I mean, obviously, we've dealt with injuries before, but I think that's made other guys better. They've had to accept the challenges, and you've seen guys like Tyquan and Hollywood and Juju and really everybody step up in their roles and take on bigger roles. And then now we're adding the guys back with Xavier and now Rashee. It's just going to make the whole room better. And they've all been pushing each other to be even better. And like I said, they're best friends, man. It's like one of the best rooms I think I've ever seen and been a part of, just how much they root for each other and want each other to succeed.
How do you make sure everybody eats right now in the offense when you got so many mouths to feed? You have done a great job in your career kind of spreading the ball around. This is as many options as you've had kind of at one time. How do you kind of make sure that everybody gets their chances to eat in the offense right now?
I think it's a mixture of kind of two things. First off, I think with Coach Reed and Coach Nagy, they do a great job of the guys know the plays and know who's kind of the plays are called for, and everybody gets their turn to having to be in the main option on the play call. And obviously, that doesn't always mean you get the ball, but I think you know that if the coaches are trying to get you the ball, that kind of helps out. And then they know with me, it doesn't matter who it is. If they're open, I'm going to throw you the football. That's just kind of how I've always rolled. I don't know if it's playing in the Big 12, playing in the air raid. That's kind of the mentality I've always had. And so they know if they get in that game and they get open, I'm going to throw them the football. And so they come in with the mentality to get open and do their job every single play.
Let's kind of go back a little bit to Sunday Night Football. Let's just start with this. What was it like to control the game and play as well as you guys played against one of the better teams in the league? I think the Lions are the best team in the NFC, and you guys handled them on Sunday Night Football.
Yeah, I mean, that's a great team to go up against. I know that it was going to be a competitive game going into the game, and we had to play our best football, and it was good to see. I mean, that if we play our best football, we can compete against anybody. And I was proud of how everybody responded. I mean, there was highs and lows, but no one held their head down. They just battled through adversity, and we were able to get kind of advantage of that game going into the second half, and we kept that momentum going throughout the rest of the game.
I saw that this season you guys are 10 of 12 on fourth down conversion so far. I also feel like you guys have been a little bit more aggressive than you usually have been on fourth downs. I guess what kind of starts that? What has made you guys more aggressive on fourth downs this season?
I think it's a mixture of things. I think it's just the plan that we have going into the game. I mean, I think you've seen some of the plays that we've kind of called even on third downs to be more aggressive and take maybe a shot here or there on third down, knowing we might go on fourth down or run the ball or whatever that is. It's like we have a mindset and a plan going into each and every game. And I think it's just being on the same pages with the coaches and them trusting me even more. I mean, the fact that I've been in the offense for so long now and they trust that I'm going to make the right decisions in the right time, it's helped us be a little bit more aggressive. And then knowing our defense is going to get stops when we don't get it, I think that's also an important part of it.
One thing I've really tried to stress this week on the show is I don't think people are giving enough credit to what Jalen Moore just did on Sunday Night Football. I imagine he hasn't been getting a lot of reps with the ones, hasn't been playing for this team, had a baby earlier on Sunday. For him to play and play as well as he did, I was really happy to see the Coach Reed kind of pointed that out and gave him the game ball. Let's just talk a little bit more about Jalen Moore, kind of this experience for him and how well he stepped in for you guys on Sunday.
Yeah, I think it just showcased how he's been the entire time he's been in here. I mean, he's a guy, true professional, someone that works his tail off every single day. No matter what you ask him to do, we've asked him to play left tackle, right tackle, guards, both positions, and it's every day he comes out and tries to be the best that he can be, and you need those guys on your team. And I mean, obviously, he wants to play every single week. He hasn't had the opportunity to, but he knew when his opportunity was going to come, he was going to be ready, and he showcased that against one of the best premier pass rushers in this league, and I was very proud of him and how he went out there and competed.
Fast forwarding to Sunday here for just a bit. A lot of times I cannot relate to your job, but this might be the one time I can do it. You got a real 9 to 5 coming up this week. You never get off work this early.
Yeah, I know, but it's still going to be a challenge. I mean, going up against the Raiders, man, it's always tough. And so We have to come with the right mindset. You know, we haven't played one of these early games yet, and so we got to wake up, be ready to go, knowing that it's going to take our best effort in order to find a way to win at Arrowhead.
Going back to your rookie year, who was that guy that kind of came in to explain the rivalry to it? You know, we see this in colleges all the time, you know, where you got a former player come by and then speak to the kids to help them understand the importance of the rivalry. Who was that player that came back to you guys to explain how important Chiefs and rivalry is to this community and to this fan base?
I mean, there was a lot of guys. I mean, I came in with a lot of vets on this team that had been around for a long time, with Derek Johnson and Justin Houston. I mean, Alex Smith. I mean, I came in with a lot of guys that have been a part of this rivalry, and you can feel it in the building within the week. I mean, no matter if you're doing good in the season, they're doing good in the season, both doing bad, whatever it is, those guys are ready to go, and it's always a tough competitive football game. And so it's the closest thing, I think, into a true rivalry in the NFL sport is the Raiders and the Chiefs, and I'm glad to be a part of it, man. It's a fun time every single time we get to go up against these guys.
What is it like to be around long enough where now you have your stories? I hate calling you the old guy, but you're starting to become one of the older guys on the team. You know, you got Christmas Day. You got the whole story about them riding the bus around the stadium. You guys have obviously had a lot of success against the Raiders as well. Now you got your own Raiders stories to tell the younger players.
Yeah, no, I mean, you share that information, man, because you got to build up for the rivalry. You got to match the intensity of the team on the other side. And so it'll be a great game. I'm super excited for it, going up against a good football team with a lot of great football players, and they'll be ready to go.
I got to ask you two questions before we get out of here, two fun questions that we've been talking about on the show. The first one is, there is a word that nobody can spell. Like, there's a word that gives you trouble. That word for me is convenience. I try to get as close as I can, and then I let spell check take over. What is that word for you that just you can't spell that you need spell check to spell for you?
Yeah, no, for me, I don't know why, and I use this word a lot, but it's itinerary. I can't spell it, and I get that every single week from the Chiefs, and I try to type it up and send it to Brittany, and I can't get close enough for spell check, so I don't know why that word is so tough for me.
See, that's one of those words, like, whenever you say itinerary, you just got to go schedule then at that point, because they mean the exact same thing.
Oh, that's my go-to. I got to switch it to schedule because they know what I'm trying to get to.
And last one here. Who is your favorite fictional football player? I'll tell you mine. It is Tim Riggins from the TV show Friday Night Lights. I also like Joe Kane from The Program. I don't know if you've seen The Program or not, but I like Joe Kane too.
I have. I'd probably say Sunshine from Remember the Titans, Ronnie Bass. I mean, just the way he played, he was scrambling, throwing the football around, was competitive. So probably him. Or Julius from I love that movie. So, or Julius from that movie, man. I remember the Titans when I grew up. I watched that a ton.
That is Patrick Mahomes, the quarterback of the Kansas City Chiefs, joining us on the show. They're playing at noon this week against the Las Vegas Raiders in a AFC West matchup. Patrick, always great catching up with you, man. Look forward to catching up with you next week ahead of Monday Night Football.
I appreciate you, man.
That's Chiefs quarterback Patrick Mahomes. Again, Chiefs and Raiders coming up on Sunday. Kansas City on a pretty good roll right now. They have won 3 of their last 4. We will take a break. We'll come back. We'll wrap up the program. This is a Graybar Sports Open Line on KMOX.
Welcome back to the Graybar Sports Open Line. Once again, Matt Pauley on KMOX.
Back at it for just a few more minutes before we call it a night and call it a week. Good sports weekend coming up as Blues. We talked about them just a few moments ago. They are continuing their homestand. They've got a good Dallas team coming in tomorrow. We're going to keep a close eye on this Missouri football game. Kevin and I talked about this along with Bernie during Rush Hour Sports, and just how you look at this game for Missouri and you're a little bit worried that it might be a trap game. Sometimes you think of trap games more coming off wins, but you just look at where Missouri is at, coming off that loss, the games that are really going to make or break their season, and they just lost one of them against Alabama, but those games that are going to make or break your season coming up with Vanderbilt and Texas A&M in the next 2 weeks. Auburn's got a coach that's kind of coaching for his life at this point. So we'll see how that whole thing plays out. It was, by the way, kind of a weird sports day. There was a video that got leaked involving Bill Belichick and his girlfriend where they were at the NFL Films offices. Pablo Torre, who does a great job doing investigative reporting on sports-related topics, he got his hands on this video, and it just continues to show the impact and the influence and the power that Hudson had. And the fact that this video, the NFL Films people said they did not leak it. They never had it. It was not their production that was going on. They were just letting the Belichick folks use their studios at that point. So they say they didn't leak it. You have to think, a lot of times when stuff gets leaked like that, there is somebody with an agenda. And I think right now, as the Belichick situation at North Carolina is very tenuous, you wonder if there's an, you know, we talked about with the Mike Schilt thing, the fact that all those details came out, some of that was somebody who had an agenda or people who had an agenda. When stuff comes out, more often than not, there's a reason that's coming out. And then a couple NFL players who we'll see whether or not they're actually able to play this weekend, but this is kind of interesting. The Atlanta Falcons, they sent Ray McLeod home. Their head coach, Raheem Morris, described the decision as a private matter between the wide receiver and the team. Said that he's working through some things that are private, and there's that. So looks like he is likely not to play. And then the Dallas Cowboys. There's always weird stuff going on with the Dallas Cowboys, but they are going to be without cornerback Trevon Diggs on Sunday. He had an accident at his home that has put him in concussion protocol. Head coach Brian Schottenheimer said, did not know the specifics of what exactly happened, but a home incident resulting in Cowboys cornerback Trevon Diggs being placed in concussion protocol. Weird end to the week for sure, but that's the world we live in sometimes when it comes to sports. Thanks so much for being tuned in to the show today. Have a wonderful, wonderful weekend. Hopefully you are able to enjoy it and sit down and watch some games and just have a good sports weekend. And we'll be back with you coming up on Monday for another Graybar Sports Open Line right here on KMOX.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Coming at you live from Auto Trader, here's New Car Energy.
They're searching inventory. You can make a budget for your wallet to help you succeed. It's smarter car shopping just for
Find
you.
Find your next ride at AutoTrader.com, powered by Auto Intelligence.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
I need a job with a steady paycheck.
I need a job that offers health care on day one for me and my kids.
I want a job where I can get certified in technical roles, like robotics or software engineering.
In communities across the country, hourly Amazon employees earn an average of over $23 an hour, with opportunities to grow their skills and their paycheck by enrolling in free skills training programs and apprenticeships. Learn more at aboutamazon.com.